Hi, everybody. I'm Gus Johnson along with the governor.
He says he got all his jeans from his mom. Woo. From his mom. Woo. A lot of nylon.
A lot of excitement in the air.
Yes.
And we're ready for college basketball. College basketball.
Oh, oh.
Gus.
Oh.
He's got onions.
Gus.
He's got onions.
Oh, oh.
Rise and fight.
Sets up the big fella to light it up. Yes, he's got onions.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special edition of the Big East Barroom presented by SeatGeek. Listen, you're going to listen to this episode. You are going to say, there is one place I need to be this weekend, and that is Madison Square Garden. I need to get to this Big East tournament. What you're going to do is you're going to go to SeatGeek. You're going to put in the code BEBR at checkout. You're going to get $20 off. You're going to come find Ryan and I. You're going to buy us a beer with the $20 you saved. Probably only one, because unfortunately it's Madison Square Garden. BEBR at checkout gives you $20 off your first order of $50 or more. I'm telling you, after you listen to some of these interviews, you're going to be jazzed up. Rye, how you doing?
Doing great. We just wrapped up those interviews, and we are going to go through each team, each game, and do a little intro. So without further ado, do you want to kick it over to our first interview?
And if we're going to start, we might as well start at the first game. First game is Xavier Butler. You know what to do, Quincy. Our first guest to help preview the Butler-Xavier game. I'm going to say it's the leading scorer for the Big East whole season. Mr. Quincy Oliveri. Quincy, you've been amazing to us to come on this many times. How are you feeling? You excited for this opportunity at Madison Square Garden?
I'm feeling good. I think the biggest reason I'm so happy and positive is this is my first time playing in Madison Square Garden. The Mecca is the bright lights, the biggest stage of basketball. I'm playing some of the best basketball in my life at the right moment. And I'm excited, you know, one game at a time. Last year when it came to the conference tournament, I was playing at the Star in Dallas where the Cowboys practice. Now I'm playing Madison Square Garden. And like I kind of joke with my teammates, what better way to warm up the Knicks arena before I get there next year and to play in it now and break it in.
Now that's awesome, man. Xavier gets Butler in the 8-9 game. That's 4:00 on Wednesday. That's the kickoff for the Big East tournament. You guys played two games. You split two games earlier in the season. You had taken care of them. They got the better of you when you met about a week ago. What do you think changed, and what are the focuses to change that back to win the rubber match here?
You know, first and foremost, like Coach Miller told us, you know, they just came out hot. They came out very aggressive, just amped up. And part of it is definitely the emotions of senior night. I think that'll play a part in anybody's game. Like, they came out and they were just so amped up. The crowd was amped up. You know, it was just an emotional game for them. And as a senior, you're going to always come out and play hard, just speaking from experience on senior night, because you don't want to lose. And they fed off that energy all game. At one point, I think we were down 20-4. They got out to such a big lead, and we were having to chip away for the rest of the game. It kind of made it hard, even when we got close. I think the closest we got might have been 5. But if you think about that, if we would have maintained the emotion early on and not been down 16, we might not have had to expend so much energy chasing the whole game rather than just battling neck and neck. But props to Coach Mata and the Bulldog. That game, they came out ready to play, and they took care of business.
When you're playing some of your best basketball, you're coming off a 32-point game against Marquette. You're shooting 43% from three. What about these bright lights of the Big East? And now you're going to the brightest lights of the Big East. Makes you play better. How excited are you for that opportunity?
I think I'm really excited. I think this is the first time I'll publicly say this, but you know, just I saw some stuff on Twitter. One of my favorite things to do is read the negative comments about me on Twitter, just to give me more motivation. And the coming into the week after Butler, a Twitter page said that I seem to disappear when we play good teams. And I normally just like the tweet just to let people know I saw it. I have no ill will. I don't hate you. I promise you, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And it sometimes makes me laugh. And I just remember laying in a bed like, I don't show up against big games. Everybody has bad games. But to say I don't show up is preposterous. And I think just feeding off negative emotion, that's something my dad always said, is like doubt is probably my biggest fuel, because I just always like to prove people wrong. And going into Marquette, just knowing that we had first time we played and we lost by a lot, and people already thinking we were probably going to get blown out again, them not having Tyler Kolek, and with the way that Cam Jones was playing, you know, people just expected us to just lay down, especially at home, just give up on the season. I just wanted to come out and prove the world to that game, but just continue to prove other people wrong that I belong where I am.
Yeah, putting up 25 points at Seton Hall, putting up 23 points against St. John's, who's projected in the tournament, and then obviously 32 the other day against Marquette, one of the top 10 teams in the country. I'm not sure that's disappearing in big moments, but
yeah, my Quincy Oliveri fan club, I actually like responded like a minute or two after I saw it, and it was like a tweet of like 12 games from stats, and he was like, "What are you talking about? Like, you don't even sound like you make sense."
As you said, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I do want to ask, so this Xavier team, you guys were rolling for a while in the middle of the season. You went 6-2 over a stretch between when you won at Providence and when you won at home in, at Villanova. Obviously, you guys have cooled off a little bit since then. You need to do some damage in the tournament. What do you think you need to do to get back to those, to that high level of basketball?
Just continue to play as a team. Take everything, one possession, one timeout, one play, one huddle, one free throw at a time. The minute we, let's say we play on Butler and they go on an 8-0 run, we start worrying about, oh, well, dang, we went on an 8-0 run and they on an 8-0 run because I just missed my last shot. And dang, we come down here and now they on a 10-0 run. If we start like dwelling on what could happen in the future and what just happened in the past, we'll never be what we want to be. But if we take everything one play at a time, one possession at a time, we'll put ourselves in position to win every game. You know, I think that tells the truth. Every game that we're close in or every game that we win, it's we take it one possession at a time and realize that we can only control what's happening at the moment.
Quince, you put on a number of just incredible performances this year, big time moments. You've hit some huge shots. I'm thinking of that one against St. John's at the top of the key. Now you're going to Madison Square Garden. We talked about before we hit record, you know, some of the brightest lights of anywhere in the world. What is your mindset like in those big moments?
Go get it. Relentless. I read that Relentless book by Tim Grover during COVID. It changed my whole mindset on life, on basketball. You put the work in, go do it. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to miss shots. But I know that I'm in the gym earlier than anybody. I know I take care of my body. I know that I want it. Like, I love the game. Like, my mindset is just trust the work. I put in the work. Go ahead and show it.
Ryan and I were lucky enough to get to the Big East tournament last year. And Xavier fans, surprisingly, for a place in Ohio, travel really well to New York City. We're doing the X sign a bunch of times last year. What do you have to say to those Xavier fans who are making the trip to Madison Square Garden to cheer you on as you guys fight for your season?
Just want to say thank you. I'm definitely excited. You know, the fans that were at Georgetown was crazy. I ain't gonna lie, that was crazy. And, you know, I definitely first just want to start off by saying thank you for making the trip, especially New York. You know, that should speak for everything in itself, because like you said, that's not close. I want to say thank you. Just get loud and cheer us on. We're going to need all that energy and momentum, because we're a long way from CentOS, and I love playing at CentOS. It's nothing like it, but we're going to be in Madison Square Garden. It seats way more than 10,300.
Quince, I speak for not just Xavier fans, but the entire Big East. It's been so much fun to watch you this season. Sean Miller offering you a scholarship was one of the best decisions he ever made for all of our sakes, getting to watch you this year. Before we get you out of here, can you give us one key for the Xavier Musketeers to win some of these games in the Big East tournament? What has to go right for you?
We've got to limit limit teams' offensive rebounding. It's so hard to make people miss, but when you do, you have to capitalize in a possession with a defensive rebound.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we can't wait to see you in person on Wednesday, and then hopefully for a few more days after. Let's make a weekend out of it, Quince.
Let's do it.
All right, Butler fans, to preview the Big East tournament for the Butler Bulldogs, we are joined by their center, Jalen Thomas. Jalen, we're huge fans of your game. Love the way that Butler went on, you know, runs at certain times this year. So thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
First time guest in the Big East barroom. We've been trying to get you on for a while, so we're really happy we got you on right before the tournament. Best time for college basketball in the entire year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jalen, you've played Xavier twice this year, and you've had success, especially crashing the boards. You have double-digit rebounds in both those games. You guys will play Xavier at 4:00 on Wednesday. What are you looking at for that matchup? You just played them, you know, on Wednesday, and now you're going to play them again a week later. Is there something about being that comfortable with that?
Just knowing that, you know, this is a rivalry game for us, and you know, Xavier is the biggest rival for Butler and has been, I don't know how long. You know, I've only been in the Big East for 2 years, and I don't like them already. So, like, it's an active rivalry. You know, going in, we think we have a good game plan. And, you know, at our place last game, you know, they beat us first at their place pretty bad. We were down, like, 19 at one point, but we came back. But they had us the whole game pretty much. And then at our place, we were up on them pretty big early. And then I feel like this – we played a great game defensively, but I feel like offensively – we didn't have the best night. You know, we only won by 6. But, you know, going to this third matchup, I feel like, you know, we have a good plan going in. And, you know, I think we can get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys play the first game of the Big East tournament on Wednesday, the 4:00 game. What is the atmosphere like? I know you played at Madison Square Garden last year in the tournament. How much are you looking forward to being there?
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go back to MSG. Last year we played St. John's, so, like, it was like a home game for them. So the atmosphere was pretty good. I'm not sure how it'll be especially being at the first game for us and Xavier, but knowing the rivalry, I'm pretty sure it'll be pretty hyped up in there, pretty loud. So I'm looking forward to it for sure. You know, it's a great atmosphere, one of the great basketball venues, if not the best. So,
Jalen, one of the things that I thought was so impressive about this Butler team is you guys are a lot of transfers. You are now the elder statesman after 2 years of being on the team. Yeah. Can you just talk about how you guys have come together, you know, with this many transfers in the starting lineup, you know, and how cohesive you feel right now?
Yeah, you know, just coming in this year, you know, I was the main guy bringing guys in, you know, when they all hit the portal. When everybody else left from last year's team, no, I was one of the only guys left, me, Connor Turnbull, and John Michael. You know, being one of the only guys that, you know, played significant minutes, the only guy, really. I was in a lot of those visits, and, you know, Thad, he brought in all those guys from all over the place, you know, Pierre, DJ, John, Posh. So just being the catalyst for that, you know, bringing them guys together, you know, I was there a lot. And then, like, chemistry-wise, we start building that early. You know, off-season workouts, we had, like, a military, like, boot camp kind of thing. And, you know, just building that from early on with the workouts and stuff, you know, I feel like right now we're getting off to a good start right now with, you know, the chemistry-wise. And, you know, coming off 2 wins, I think going into the tournament, we had a good shot.
Yeah, it's a great point Tyler's alluding to, because we've seen so many teams, not just in the Big East, but all over the country, that really rely on transfers, you know, have a hard time hitting the ground rolling. You guys seem to have clicked so early. Can you speak about what this team means to you? I mean, you've played, this is your fifth year of college basketball, your fourth year of college basketball. So what makes this team different?
I just feel like these guys want to win. And, you know, coming from, like, Northeastern, UC Irvine, and Pierre was at Michigan State, but he wasn't playing a lot. Like, we all have something to prove. You know, Posh from St. John's, we all got something to prove, and it's a little chip on our shoulder. And I think these guys want to win. You can see the hunger in the eyes during the games. And even though we hit a lull in, like, near the end of the season, we lost 5 straight. I feel like, you know, coming into the tournament, like, we're hungry still. And, you know, guys are still looking to prove themselves. And, you know, this is a big shot for us to do that.
So with the way the season has worked out for Butler, I'm sure you guys know you probably need the automatic qualifier if you want to go dancing. What is it going to take for this Butler Bulldog team to go on that run that they need to do? What can you give us a couple keys of what you guys are really focusing on?
Yeah, just, you know, make sure we stay together and you know, stick together through these games, these four games. And, you know, I know it's going to be hard. It's not easy, especially, you know, Big East being as talented and competitive as it is. Just knowing that, you know, we got to go in and have the right mindset. And I feel like we always get off to great starts of games. It's just we come out second half and that team's going runs and we're not as clean and efficient offensively, which leads to turnovers and stuff like that. And that's why I feel like we blow leads second half in most of our games, you can see. So I feel like just, you know, have a play in a complete 40-minute game and just, you know, sticking together and just, you know, make sure that everybody's positive, you know, great energy. I feel like having a positive attitude going into these four games, you know, we know we can do it, but it's easier said than done. We're going out there in the court, but, you know, I think we got the talent and guys to do it. So.
You guys have been one of the most fun teams to watch all season long, you know, and then the way you've come together, the connectivity between the transfers has really been special. So we're really looking forward to seeing you guys, and we want to see a big run. Not to look forward at all, but UConn's second game, looking forward to that if you get there.
Yeah, like you said, not looking forward, but we know that that's the second game for sure, and that's going to be the first game. So definitely be preparing for that, but we've got to get Xavier first. So.
And you played them hard both times. I mean,
yeah.
You guys gave them two of their best games of the season, so that would be a really fun game for all the fans.
No doubt.
All right, Jalen, thank you so much for hopping on with us. Really appreciate you coming on to preview Butler's Big East tournament run. And we are going to look forward to seeing you at the Garden in a few days.
No doubt. Appreciate y'all for having me, man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys, because we couldn't find anyone else to talk about Georgetown hoops, we are joined by Mike DeRosa, and this is his second favorite team, so we figured we'd give Georgetown the respect they deserve. Mike, how are you doing?
You know, while we're on this bit, I'm going to read out the message Tyler sent me to ask me to be on the show. Well, Ryan initially sent me a message, "Hey, Michael, would you be able to represent Georgetown?" Tyler responds, "Hey, Mike, I got outvoted. I didn't want you. I still don't. But when you scrape the bottom of the barrel, your slime is what we find. You're the Georgetown of my friend." So I just want to point out that Tyler said I'm his friend, which is a huge honor. So thank you, Tyler. Happy to be here.
And honestly, whoever's 11th in my friend group, I'm sorry that you're the DePaul of my friends. Mike gets Georgetown.
If anybody doesn't know this bit, we love Mike. We're really happy to have him on. None of this is serious. We're talking Georgetown in the Big East tournament. They qualified, which is a big accomplishment for them this season. They'll be the 10th seed. They're playing Providence at the 6:30 game on Wednesday night. This will be their third chance at Providence, third chance for Ed Cooley to get I don't know if it's a revenge game. He left them, but, you know, just a chance to mess up their season. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Both games were kind of close for most of them, honestly, when they played Providence. The game in the AMP was what? It was like a 3-point game late. Ish Masood had a rare, really good game. He kept him in it. And then the second game was close for a while. I felt like it was closer than the score indicated. I think it ended as a Providence 13-point win. Yeah, Providence 13 points. But it was closer than that for a while. But Providence is just the better team. Georgetown's not very good, but I don't know. Maybe they can keep this one within 13 and cover a spread.
All right, Mike, you guys are going to lose. Georgetown's going to lose this game in there to Providence. Probably. I have a question more general about Georgetown. You're a pretty optimistic guy. You like to have fun, which is wild because you have not a lot going on. Did you think it was possible that this season could be as bad as it was for Georgetown?
Possible? Kind of. Probable? Definitely not. The one thing that irked me, and it should irk every single Georgetown fan out there, the one thing you wanted in this season was just a better defense. Ewing's defenses were absolutely atrocious. They could not guard the 3-point line. So naturally, Cooley gets in, and they can't guard the 2-point line. They are, I believe, the third worst team in the country at defending inside the arc. Only Pacific and IUPUI are worse. It's inexcusable. That is, oh my God, it's claw your hair out every time. But Providence also likes shooting a ton of threes. And if any team just thinks, hey, wait, if we want to drive the ball, they're going to score every time. Every time. It's ridiculous.
Despite having Supreme Cook back there, the Supreme Defender?
So I think Georgetown, definitely for next year, and could for this year, you just need a really good shot blocker. None of the defenders individually are great. The best defender on this team might be Rowan Brumbaugh, and he is an undersized, physically not there yet, but he's also a freshman, so he's got time to grow. Like, I like the kid's progress. But none of this team can defend particularly well, and I think there was a span where Supreme Cook went a month without getting a block. He's the starting center on a Big East team. Georgetown just needs an athletic, 7-foot rim-running shot blocker, and I think it would change so much with this team next year.
If we could circle back really quickly, what has to happen for Georgetown to steal this game from Providence? And I think I know where you're going with this.
Jaden Epps will have to go off. You'll have to get a really good shooting game from either Styles, Keith, or Masood. They're just going to have to, like, you're going to have someone go like 5 of 7 from three or something like that. And Providence is going to have to shoot a lot of threes and just not try to drive. Because if they try to drive, they're going to score every time. So you just got to hope they don't.
In a lot of ways, is the Monday after Selection Sunday the most interesting portion left of the Georgetown season?
100%. It's a matter of who entered this transfer portal, who does Georgetown look at, who can they get? It'll probably be like it'll trickle down from a little bit after just the Monday itself. But yes, absolutely. Georgetown fans, I feel like, have been waiting for the transfer portal for 3 months now. The season was kind of over in December, like 100% over. You were just like, maybe they could win like 5 games in conference. No.
Tough season for Georgetown. But Mike, we really appreciate you coming on to preview the tournament. And next year, we hope it's a little bit better news.
I think there'll be better news next year. I'm fairly confident in that. I think they'll have a good team. We'll talk about that more as we get closer to it. But very happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
To talk about the Providence Friars, we are lucky enough to be joined by unanimous Big East first team selection. I'll say it, Rye. He won't. Should have been Defensive Player of the Year. Devin Carter, thanks so much for hopping on with us.
No problem. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, if it was voting was up to us, you would have won 2-0, but the coaches get to vote on that. But no, we really appreciate you taking the time to jump on here. And Providence gets the Wednesday game at 6:30 against Georgetown. This is your third shot against Ed Cooley. You guys are 2-0. I'm going to ask what everybody wants to know. Does it mean a little bit more playing against your former coach?
I don't think it means more. I mean, I try to win every basketball game I play. So, I think it's just great seeing him. You know, I wish him nothing but the best at Georgetown. You know, it's hard. It's never easy, you know, rebuilding a program and everything. So, I think he's done a pretty good job this first year, dealing with everything. And then, it's always fun to play against him, though. At the end of the day, he's the person who brought me to Providence. So he's the person who, I mean, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in Friartown. So definitely thankful to, I've met and played for Coach Cooley.
And that windmill dunk at the end of when you played him at home, the windmill dunk, that wasn't just a little something extra for him?
No, I was just feeling good. And, I just had a fast break before that, and I didn't do anything. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do something now.
Devin, for you personally, this season has been a massive success. You go from, to unanimous first team player. You've hit your share of incredible shots. Selfishly, Ryan and I had never been to Friartown, and we chose the pink out game to go to. You hit the coolest shot of all time from the logo. What, I would say what gives you the confidence, but I know you think you can make them and you do make them. You know, what are you thinking about when you're pulling up from those? Because that's not the first shot you've hit like that all season.
Yeah, they're just shots that I work on. I mean, a lot of people say, like, oh, it's a bad shot, but if you work on something and you're confident enough to shoot it, you'll live with the results and make or miss. So that's the way I look at it.
This Friars team has dealt with its fair share of adversity this year, even never mind the offseason, but losing Bryce Hopkins, a returning All-Big East first teamer. I mean, what does it say about this group of guys, the way you guys bounced back and won a whole bunch of really tough games after that? Can you just speak on how special that is?
Yeah, a lot of people doubted us once Bryce went down. You know, they thought we would finish in the bottom of the Big East, like 10th and 9th and stuff. I mean, I feel like we dealt with a lot of adversity. You know, Josh had a baby for the Butler game. You know, we had Garway out, flu. Jaden's been hurt a few times. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff, you know. And then obviously the Bryce and everything. But I think, you know, as a collective, like as a whole group, everybody stepped up, you know. We came to practice every day with the right mindset just to get better and, you know, just trust Cam and what he got going for, you know, practice, game plan, and our whole staff to just trust what they have planned for us and try to follow it to the rest of our ability. So, I mean, I think we've done a great job considering, you know, everybody doubted us.
Now, right now, according to most people who studied the NCAA tournament bracket, they're suggesting Providence needs a couple wins to get themselves on the right side of the bubble come Selection Sunday. Is that something that you're thinking about going into these games? Is that not even on your mind? Where does it land for you?
I mean, realistically, I mean, everybody wants to make the tournament, so everybody knows what you have to do to make the tournament. So, I mean, that's not like what you're really focusing on. I mean, only thing you focus on is next game, which is Georgetown. So, I mean, for the most part, we're just all locked in on Georgetown, what we have to do, and then worry about, you know, who we play next. And obviously, it's going to be back to back to back, like, you know, every day. So, I mean, it's really just take it day by day. That's all you can do.
Now, one of the things about Providence that we've all now, if you have Twitter, is their fan base is special, whether that you like their fan base or hate their fan base. What I mean, when they get behind you, though, I'm not sure there's a better place to play than the Amp. I mean, what's it like playing at the Amp, especially when you have it rocking like you did during the Pink Out or in any other of those games?
Yeah, man. I mean, I always say it. We got the best fans in the country, you know, the best community, best arena. It's just great. I mean, you know, it's not easy to play there, and it's not easy to win. Well, it's not easy for other teams to play there. I think it's hard for, you know, any of these other teams that come in there and they hear everybody cheering or booing them, and then it's just it gets to be a lot throughout the course of a game, and you know they help us win a lot of close games.
How much are you looking forward to coming back someday as a fan and getting to be part of that atmosphere?
I mean, I don't know. Kind of mixed emotions. I mean, obviously, I love playing in an environment like that. So you know, whenever my career is done here in Friartown, you know, I think it'd be a good, you know, just to come back, see, visit coaches and, you know, everybody who's been with me since I got here. So I think it'd be great.
Before the UConn game, you guys, Fox showed one of the cooler moments, I think, of the season. That was you practicing with your dad, warming up before the game. How special is it to share in this journey with him after you kind of were a big part of his journey as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a... It's just everything, you know, you dream of as a kid, just working out with your dad before the game and, you know, just having him sitting courtside, I watched you play. So every time he's there, you know, I definitely try to put on a show for him and, you know, let him know, like, you know, all the work we put in, you know, it hasn't gone to waste or anything like that. So, I mean, he loves coming to Providence and I love having me in Providence. So, I mean, it's great. And plus, I mean, I don't really get to see him too much, so... Whenever I get to see him in general, you know, it's great. So,
Devin, it's been so special to watch this season. You've accomplished everything and more you could have, you know, imagined when you came over as a freshman from South Carolina. You've taken the Big East by storm. Before we get you out of here, you just give us a couple keys for Providence Friars if they make a deep run in this Big East tournament, a couple things you're focused on?
I mean, I think it's just 40 minutes with us. You know, I feel like we go on runs. I feel like we give up runs. I think it's just a 40-minute game with us. As long as we come to play for 40 minutes, I think we can accomplish anything we want.
Well, Devin, like Ryan, I'll echo Ryan's sentiments. It's been a pleasure to watch. If you can get a few more logo threes in this tournament, I think we'll be all satisfied.
I appreciate it.
Would it be more windmill dunks?
We'll see how my knees feel.
You're too young to say that. Thank you for your time, Devin. We appreciate you.
No problem. Appreciate it.
All right, DePaul fans. We are joined by Twitter famous documentary creator, Blue Demon Degenerate. Blue Demon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. Great to be here, man.
We really appreciate you taking time to come on and talk about DePaul for the Big East Tournament Preview Show. DePaul gets Villanova in the late game on Wednesday. DePaul clinched that 11 seed pretty early for the Big East Tournament. What are your thoughts on the matchup? What are DePaul's chances here? Let's just be real.
Yeah, let's not sugarcoat it. Well, let's look at the reality. We've played Nova twice this year. Combined loss total of 61. I think the first game was 36 point loss and the second game was 25. So neither game was relatively close at any point. In the first half, I think we were down 24 on the first one. So they kind of have our number, not going to lie, not looking great there. Villanova's pretty versatile too. It's not like they have a glaring weakness to exploit, in my opinion. They're pretty well-rounded. They have a big man, Eric Dixon. We have none. That's not great. Not going to lie. That's not great. We also haven't won a game in conference either. That's also not great. Let's look at the positives, though. We were pretty bad last year, too. I think we were coming into the Big East tournament on like a 10-game skid or something awful. And we knocked off Seton Hall for no reason. And then we almost beat Xavier. This team is much worse than that team. To call this team horrible would be a gross overstatement. This is the worst high major team that has ever touched a basketball court. And the fact that they're going to be competing in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden, the mecca of college basketball, is almost like a NATO affront. Like, they might need to roll tanks down whatever avenue that is. I've never been to New York. It's just, I'm hoping for a quick game, not a close game. We can't really hope for that. Like a quick game, just get us out. Let us focus fully on the coach search. I'll be tuning in for the full game, but just, I don't know that. What did Nova go down against Creighton yesterday? Like 25-3. If we could do like half of that, they fuck up like really bad again, we might only lose by like 15. So
that's the optimistic side of the game. So, I mean, yeah. I'd hate to talk about the pessimistic side.
Yeah.
We're obviously, this season is a loss. I mean, you're right. This is the worst Power Six team to ever play basketball.
Probably ever. Yeah.
Is there anything other than the coaching search you're looking to the offseason as optimistic? Are you optimistic about the transfer portal? Any player that might be sticking around that you like some of their growth? Just anything that, might even resemble a positive note.
Yeah, the positive note is that this season is going to end on Wednesday. That's a positive. the offseason gets started earlier. To be real, though, I've heard rumors that our head coaching budget has grown, that our NIL budget has grown. Again, just rumors. We'll see what happens with that. But that's room for optimism. We're getting a new coach. It appears that search has been focused solely on high major head coaches. We're not going to hire another Dana Altman assistant. And in terms of like this Wednesday, I think the player to look out for, if you're going to watch this game and, take anything from DePaul's side, is how Jalen Terry plays. I would love to keep Jalen Terry around. I don't know if he's a starting caliber guard for a successful Big East team, but he can definitely give us something off the bench next season if we're going to compete in the Big East. So I'd look for Jalen Terry this Wednesday to do what he does.
Yeah, we love Jalen Terry over at this podcast, and he always gives you a lot of effort. DeGen, is there any insights you can give on the coaching search for Big East fans, what DePaul is looking at right now?
I've heard a lot of rumors. I'm not tapped in whatsoever. I think that's pretty apparent, or it should be. The names I've been hearing are Bobby Hurley and Porter Moser. Again, there's people that say like, oh yeah, Porter's a Chicago guy, that'd be great. And then there's people who think that he wouldn't even return our call. I don't know. I'm not making the search. Those would obviously be, the best coaches we've had in probably the 21st century, I'd guess. They both come with their, own interesting storylines. But those are the two names that I've been hearing.
Well, Blue Demon Degenerate, I think DePaul owes you a thank you this year. For a while, you took all of the storylines from the DePaul basketball team and put them on one of, I think, the best fan in the conference. So I guess they should cut you a check. That should be optimistic. And we'll still be hoping that we get those 10 films one day.
Yeah, 10 more.
I got one.
I'd love to see it.
I got one more question.
Yep.
When basketball starts next season, where will you be?
I'll be at Wintrust. I'll be at Wintrust.
Thank you, Blue Demon. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
To talk about one of the most interesting teams in the Big East, their path to a Big East championship, their Big East tournament preview, we are lucky enough to be joined by Reigning Threes, Mike O'Connell, and Alan Ray, former All-American for Villanova. Thank you guys so much for coming on with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us. Pull up that seat to the Big East bar room.
Yes, sir. Really appreciate you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, you guys are the best. We love what you do with Villanova. And but maybe it's not the happiest time to talk about Villanova. You guys end up playing the late night game Wednesday against DePaul. As we kind of talked about before we got on, we're not too concerned about that DePaul game. I mean, what are your guys' concern level squaring off against DePaul at that time?
Hey, Ray, tell him.
To be honest with you, like, I feel like how you guys feel. Like, this is a win. We can't even think about DePaul. If we lose to DePaul, no disrespect to DePaul, but they're just one of the worst teams in the conference, so... Like, this got to be a tune-up game for us, in my opinion. Like, we got to come out with the right mindset, the right attitude, and the right energy to go forward into the next game against, hopefully, a Marquette team who has a Cam Jones who's probably, I don't know, pretty upset right now because he didn't get in any Big East teams. And then Tyler Kolek, you don't know if he's coming back or not, but... Yeah, I would say a pretty motivated Marquette team, but we should handle DePaul.
Yeah, I completely agree with what A-Ray is saying, and we don't want to disrespect DePaul, but you got to at least win one game to get some respect in the conference, and Unfortunately they didn't do that for the Blue Demons. But as horrible as it might be in terms of what Villanova fans are looking for, last year comes to mind where. It was a Georgetown team that we played in the first round of the Big East tournament. We absolutely whooped them. I think we won like 80-48 or something like that. And it was like great, right? Cam Whitmore was catching alley-oop dunks. We were hitting threes. And Villanova looked like, hey, Creighton better watch out because that's who we played in the quarterfinals last year. Things didn't really go according to plan. But hey, it's an opportunity for this Wildcat team to make some noise. And if they win two, maybe three games, they can find themselves, hear their name being called on Selection Sunday. So that's the name of the game right now.
Is there anything to suggest, maybe optimistically, that, being the seventh seed and getting DePaul, or being the sixth seed and getting DePaul is almost a blessing because you kind of have a game where you can get right? I don't want to be just shit on DePaul for an entire 10 minutes, but you have a game where you get to play and try to get everyone right. And, you're going to play a team that hasn't played in a week. Is there any optimistic side of you guys that says that this might be a blessing?
Oh, of course. And as a player, I can tell you it is. Just being able to have a game like that before you play against a big team is always a plus. And like we said, we're not trying to kill DePaul here, but, it just is what it is. And with the season that Villanova is having and the situation that they're in right now, it's imperative for them to get a win against DePaul, and they need to use that game as a game to kind of get things clicking, get some chemistry, get some rhythm going, and as they move forward, because we all know the Big East is no pushover.
Mike, you referenced the NCAA tournament outlook. What's the consensus for what Villanova needs to do in the Big East tournament in order to be on the right side of the bubble on Selection Sunday?
Yeah, it's funny, right? Like you can ask three different bracketologists, different experts, and you probably get three different opinions. But in terms of what A-Ray and I and the rest of Nova Nation are thinking, we want to get to two wins at least to give ourselves a shot, right? You beat Marquette. That's a quad one win. I know they're not fully healthy, at least in terms of what we know right now about Kolek's health. But you got to think that at least gets them in the conversation. And then you got to hope there's no bid stealers in the mid majors, right? You don't need any number one seeds losing in any sort of conference tournament where it's like, wow, this is now a two bid league rather than a one big league because the number one seed didn't take care of business in their respective tournament. We don't want that. You want to at least to be completely comfortable and wake up on Selection Sunday feeling absolutely great is you get 3 wins. That is a tall task, though, in the Big East tournament with how deep this conference is. But I think if you get 2, which is certainly capable, plausible of happening because it is against DePaul and then a banged up Marquette. So I'll say 2.5, right? You want that third win, but I think if you get 2, you're at least in the conversation.
This Villanova team is an older team. Eric Dixon, Justin Moore, Tyler Burton. You have plenty of players who probably are playing one of their last college games, you know, in the next few weeks. A-Ray, maybe you can talk about it from the player's perspective. What's it like going out there knowing that, you know, this is the last time with this team? And does it give you a different sense of desperation, especially knowing that they're probably on the wrong side of the bubble right now?
So just from experience, you know, having it being your last game, you know, it can get kind of emotional. And, you know, you've put so much work in at that one program or, you know, at the college level. And then it's like, you know, it's your last game and it's over. It comes quick. So it's definitely something to think about. And I feel like these guys should be able to use that as motivation. Like you said, these guys are all older guys out of the transfer portal. They all were successful at their teams. I just think it's just a matter of putting things together now in the Big East tournament and just going out there and having a mindset of like, we have nothing to lose. You know, forget about it's my last year. Like, we just have nothing to lose right now, and I'm going to give it my all.
If Villanova were to miss the NCAA tournament, what's kind of the outlook on Kyle Neptune through 2 years, miss the NCAA tournament 2 years amongst, you know, Villanova Nation right now?
You know, after last year's disappointing season, everyone was already calling for his head then, right? And then to go 2 years in a row now without making the NCAA tournament, probably if we say Villanova wins one more game then loses to Marquette, you'll find ourselves in the NIT, which is, you know, for back-to-back years, the amount of talent, you know, that we've had on this roster both seasons, and we completely reloaded once again in last year's offseason. I can see that happening once again where it's like, okay, not necessarily the panic button has been pushed, but it's like, what can we do to make this team better, like, quickly? And the 4 transfer influx that we got with Ware, Hart, Bamba, and Burton, you know, it didn't really work out to the best of the abilities that we thought, you know, what this team could have been. They were picked 4th in the Big East. Obviously, they finished 6th and are in position to make the NCAA tournament, but have some work left to do. So a lot can be determined over the course of this next week. And fellas, I don't know. I, if we can't get 2 wins, I don't think we'd even deserve to be in the conversation whatsoever. So our back has been against the wall now for over a week. We beat Providence, took care of business against them, lost at Seton Hall, and then lost at home to Creighton in a game where we didn't wake up until the 8-minute mark in the first half. So still, the opportunities were there, and now they still are there for the taking. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I agree with A-Ray. Neptune will be back next season, basically no matter what.
Y'all guys got OC fired up right now.
Before we get you guys out of here, can you give us one key, maybe for a more casual viewer of the Big East tournament, that Villanova needs to do well to make sure they get those 2 wins, to make sure they can be maybe playing on Friday or Saturday night?
For one, they got to defend the 3-point line. Defend the 3-point line and rebound. These 2 games that we lost, we got out-rebounded, and teams been shooting a great percentage from us at 3, from 3. We got to rebound and defend the 3. And obviously, the elephant in the room is start the game off with some kind of energy and match the other team's enthusiasm from the start. You know, that's the biggest thing. If you want to say anything, it probably is start the game off with some intensity and start the game off the right way.
Yeah, I'll definitely echo that with the slow starts. It's been a thorn on our side all season long. But how about making layups? Mm-hmm. Villanova needs to finish at the rim. Make some layups, see the ball go in the hole a little bit, because it just seems like it's a common theme where they have missed a couple layups early on and it really hurts some of these guys' confidence. And it's almost like, uh-oh, what else is going to go wrong? And I'm tired of feeling like that Because I know the entirety of Villanova fans know exactly what I'm talking about. What I mentioned, the missed layups, you guys even made a face saying like, yeah, you're right, OC. So make layups and start strong, fellas. That's the name of the game.
Well, A-Ray, Mike, we can't appreciate, thank you guys enough for coming on the podcast to preview the Big East tournament. Everybody should right now go check out the Jay Wright episode of Rain in Threes, which is amazing, and then watch all their other ones also. They do great work over there.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for having us, and we look forward to Wednesday, Big East tournament. It's time to get after it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ryan Tyler, thank you guys so much. I hope to see you guys there this weekend, maybe.
Yes, sir. We'll be there.
All right, let's go. Hell yeah.
Okay, to talk about the number one seed, probably one of the number one seeds in the country, we are joined by one of the best UConn accounts in the country. Store South makes great videos for UConn, hype videos. If you're a UConn fan, it's a must follow. Store South, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, so UConn Huskies get the number one seed in this Big East tournament, which means they'll play either Butler or Xavier on Thursday at the 12 o'clock game. What jumps out to you about that matchup, and is there a matchup you think UConn fans should prefer? Do you think UConn matches up better against one than the other?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, there's no sort of walk in the park when it comes to the Big East, with exception of course, DePaul and Georgetown. So I don't overlook any opponent, whether it be Xavier or Butler, that ends up being UConn's opponent on Thursday. The one thing I will say, though, is if there's one team of recent that's really given UConn trouble, particularly on their home court, it was Butler, thinking back to the beginning of February, who they you know, made it much more of an uncomfortable game than I think any UConn fan would have liked it to have been, compared to Xavier, where, if you remember that game in Hartford all the way back in January, it was quite a lopsided affair. So I would say Butler is definitely going to be the more difficult challenge of the two. I mean, you think about Telford's size, really was is pretty difficult for UConn to guard. And then when DJ Davis gets going, it's can light up the scoreboard pretty quickly. So I'd say Butler will be the more challenging of the two opponents. But frankly, overall, UConn got a very good draw, as they deserve, being the overall one seed. And so at the end of the day, there really shouldn't be any sort of opponent that, one, they should overlook, but two, that they should be afraid of either. I mean, there's a reason that they're heavy favorites in Vegas to win the whole thing, but that doesn't mean it's a given. So, but I would say Butler would be the harder of the two opponents, given that they have to play on Thursday.
One of the things I've been amazed about from UConn this year is there's been no championship hangover. Hurley has made it clear that their goal is to win the Big East tournament, the Big East regular season, and continue. Playing at noon on a Thursday of the Big East tournament, you have any concern about the way Hurley's going to get this team up and fired up? Because there's just a different environment there.
I think this is what Hurley makes him the best, you know, and differentiates himself. I mean, they just went, had two games that more or less meant nothing. I mean, sure, it was basically firming up that they were going to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, but to go to Milwaukee and to go to Providence and win in pretty convincing fashion in both situations, despite not having really a ton on the line, I'm sure Hurley is already looking for the press clippings and anything he can find for any sort of slight to get those guys fired up. I mean, certainly, to your point, noon on a Thursday is it's going to be a bit of a different atmosphere than hopefully if they make it to Friday night and Saturday and so forth. But I have full confidence in Hurley getting the guys ready to go.
Overall, you know, obviously UConn won a national championship last year, but Tyler mentioned there really has been no hangover. How do you think this team compares to last year in terms of talent, but also in terms of ceiling, personnel? What are your overall takeaways?
Oh my God, that's like the million-dollar question I think that people are asking, and I try not to put myself too far ahead of things here, just in terms of how special that team was last year, but just how incredible of a regular season run those guys just went on. I mean, the school putting out all those records last night of most Big East wins in conference play, most regular season wins in UConn men's program history. I mean, those are some pretty incredible feats. So certainly, I mean, just from a dominance perspective up until March this year, it's quite something. But if we're comparing talent, I mean, personal level, you just look at the guys who came back from last year. The growth from Klingon, Caravan, Diarra, just to name a few, has been unbelievable. And then really, this is where you, I would say, you get into more of the quote unquote controversial part of things, is when you're comparing the new guys that have come in, right? You're looking at Cam Spencer versus Jordan Hawkins, and it's like when Jordan went off, it was thermonuclear. Whereas with Cam, he's able to kind of be a little bit more versatile in terms of what he does, putting the ball on the floor, a little bit less of just running off screens and just pulling up for three. I mean, he's so crafty when he does get in the lane, really good at putting you in jail, having that defender behind you, and it's really impressive to watch. And then of course, how could I forget returners from last year, but just Tristan being, I would say, just way more consistent this year in terms of just bringing his A game, you know, one game to the next, and just his ability to get active on the glass, find shooters. It's quite impressive overall. So, I mean, that's a very long-winded way of saying, I don't know how you compare the two year over year. I mean, they could be better this year, but I think as you guys know, with when it comes to, you know, UConn fans, I mean, you're largely judged by what happens in March. So, not to disregard what this incredible run over the last 3 to 4 months, but that I think will ultimately play a big role in how this team is remembered compared to last year.
I think that was an fantastic preview of this UConn Huskies. Let me ask you one more question before we get you out of here. Is it Big East Tournament Championship or bust for the Huskies?
Man. that's a good one. I think, you know, let me put it this way, right? I mean, if we're just going to operate in a vacuum here, I would say yes. And what I mean by that is, like, just disregarding whatever happens in the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, I think we, you know, as we talked about a little bit earlier, just from a draw perspective, right, you're getting the 8-9 seed regardless, and then you're likely playing, or I believe you are playing, one of Seton Hall, St. John's, if assuming that you win that first game, which is going to be tough. I mean, those are both very quality, high quality teams, and then thereafter you either have to be one of Marquette or Creighton. The fact in and of itself, you don't have to beat both Marquette and Creighton, is a huge plus. They're both tremendous teams, especially under the assumption Colick returns. And so just in the fact you only have to beat one of them, you're in your own backyard, you're in Store South. Like, I would say yes. If you were to add a little more context, I would say here's one thing for sure. They have to make the title game on Saturday, right? It's been, I think, 3 years in a row now they've lost in the semifinal. And I think in that sense, you got to make the title game. You got the draw. The team is obviously very, very good. In terms of whether you win on Saturday, they probably should, but it's college hoops. You know, anything can happen game to game. But if they say, let's say they lost in the final and then went on a huge run in the NCAA tournament, then I wouldn't put it in like the, you know, you got to win it all or bust, you know, when it comes to the Big East tournament.
I'm sorry. Mr. Store South, we can't thank you enough for coming on to preview UConn. If you're a UConn fan and you're not following him, you are doing something wrong. One of the best video editors in the game. So thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
To talk about the St. John's Red Storm, we are lucky enough to be joined by the host of the Eye on the Storm pod, Dave, St. John's superfan, one of the best in the business. Dave, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's the best time of the year.
It really is. We really appreciate you joining us. For the listeners, he's actually on a cruise right now, but he made time to jump on here, talk college basketball. There's no break for this podcaster.
There is absolutely no vacation or break time from St. John's basketball, from the Big East, not right now. And man, it is the absolute best time in the world, in the best conference in the world. It's the Big East versus everybody else, man. And there's no place better. I'm so excited for this week.
And St. John's draws the 2:30 Thursday game, the 4-5 matchup against Seton Hall. Some people are suggesting it's for both teams. They need to win to go to the NCAA tournament. What are your thoughts? First, let's start with, what are your thoughts on matching up against Seton Hall? They lost both games. They played a very good half last time, and then things got away from them.
Yeah, unfortunately, playing one good half has been the horrific theme of you know, a large part of St. John's season. Thankfully, the last five games, that sort of has fallen by the wayside, and they've started to put, you know, 40 minutes of basketball together. But St. John's has lost twice to Seton Hall. Seton Hall has St. John's number this year. There's no two ways about it. In the first matchup, St. John's didn't have Rick Pitino or Jordan Dingle because of COVID, and they absolutely laid an egg. It was one of the worst performances in the building. It was a game that I was in the building for at the Prudential Center, and I said I would not return to that building again. I've seen them lose way too many times going into that building, and there's just something. So that Prudential Center is a house of horrors, and I hate that place. At UBS Arena, when they faced off again, St. John's blew a 19-point lead, and it was the collapse that sort of mushroomed this comeback for St. John's. It was the press conference that made national headlines for Rick Pitino, where he called his guys out. And he said, you know, afterwards he would say that it was theater, but, and he was trying to rattle cages and all that stuff. And, you know, you believe what you want or not. Seton Hall has played St. John's tougher than almost anybody this year. And the thing is, I'm so excited that we get them a third time. I'm so excited that St. John's gets them now, playing this well, playing completely differently than they've played in that first game, for sure, because nobody will have COVID unless something crazy happens in the next few days, knock on wood. But they're also in a completely different mindset. These guys are completely amped up. I've heard amazing things out of practice. These guys are locked in, and I know that's all just coach speaking craziness, but I've spoken to the family members of the kids on the team. I've spoken to the staff. This team is in a completely different headspace, and what it comes down to, this is why you hired Rick Pitino. This game, these moments, right now, this is why you did it, for turning your season around in five games, for the Big East tournament against Seton Hall. For the third time, you play a team that has had your number. Well, now you bring in Rick Pitino in a situation like this. I would not bet against Rick or St. John's in this game.
Fire me up, Dave.
Is there one matchup you're looking at here that you think St. John's really needs to dominate one-on-one?
I'm going to answer it kind of in a larger sense. Listen, Kadari Richmond is obviously the focal point for Seton Hall, and he has played really well against St. John's. 18 points, 11 rebounds in game two. In the first game, he had 12 points, 9 rebounds, but that was a runaway game. Alamir Dawes has been a killer against St. John's as well. 21 points in the first game, 19 points in the second game, and Dre Davis, 15 points in the second game, 10 points in the first game. Those three guys make up, you know, everything for Seton Hall. Those three guys, they'll also present interesting matchups for St. John's, and especially with what's going on right now with St. John's defensively. They're a team that that fouls a lot. It's a team that still is trying to fix that part of their defense, and RJ Lewis was a key factor in the Georgetown win the other day. When he was put on Epps, it changed the entire game, and it allowed St. John's to go to the next level, to finish off that game. I wouldn't be surprised if you see, I don't know if they're going to start RJ Lewis, but if when he is in the game, I wouldn't be surprised to see RJ Lewis on Kadari Richmond, or some kind of combination of RJ Lewis and Glenn Taylor on Richmond and Davis. And then you put DJ on Dawes, because you don't want, I don't think you want DJ on Richmond and potentially get into that kind of foul trouble. So that's going to be the interesting situation matchup-wise. I'm very curious if St. John's goes more zone, because we know Seton Hall can't shoot the three that well. They're a good rebounding team. They're a great defensive team. But the one place that they struggle with is that three-point shot. That's going to be a key. I wonder if St. John's goes zone. It's something that they didn't do much in the first two games. And I think that's going to be an interesting part as well for the game.
Rick Pitino, Madison Square Garden, Big East Tournament, Thursday, 2:30. I mean, how long have St. John's waited? St. John's fans waited for a moment like this.
Listen, we haven't made it to Friday of the Big East Tournament since I was a child. They haven't won a game in the NCAA Tournament in 23 years. You know, this is a potential season of a lot of firsts for a lot of St. John's fans, and there's a lot of motivation. I think this team is going to be taking this game really personally. You know, you lost twice to Seton Hall. It's your rival. I hate Seton Hall more than any other team in the Big East. This game, you know, if if Seton Hall somehow beats St. John's for a third time and subsequently knocks them out of going to the NCAA tournament, I will be inconsolable. So, and that's me as a fan. I'm not going to be out on the court. These players, I know the seniors, the six seniors who just got celebrated on Senior Day at the Garden, there is so much motivation for this game. You're prolonging your season. You need to beat Seton Hall. Make sure that they don't do it three times in a row. There are pieces that are melding together, and I think that it's all happening at the right time. And I think that you are catching Seton Hall at the right time, too, if you're St. John's. It's a great opportunity. It is what you sign up for. It's what you want at this moment in the season. Bring on Seton Hall. Let's get this win. I'm very confident that St. John's does get it done on Thursday at 2:30.
Dave, yes or no, St. John's wins, are they in?
100%.
Love that.
Dave, can't thank you enough for taking the time to jump on with us, talk about the Big East tournament. As you said, it's the best time of the year. We really appreciate you being on with us.
I appreciate everything that you guys do. Keep killing it. You guys are amazing. I listen to every episode, and looking forward to seeing what this week brings. Thanks a lot, guys.
Great.
Appreciate you, Dave. All right, Big East Barroom fans, we are excited to announce that we have joined forces and partnered with Home Field Apparel. One of the great things about Home Field Apparel is they cover all 11 Big East teams. I like it because you get the generic shirts from the team store and all this. No, you're going to Home Field Apparel. You're going to be getting a new shirt. You're going to be wearing something unique. People are going to stop you. They're going to say, where'd you get that? You're going to say Home Field Apparel, all right? You're going to say, enter the code BEBR, and you get a discount. How about that? And then you're going to take their phone. We've talked a lot about this on the podcast. You're going to take their phone. You're going to take their credit card out respectfully. And you're going to put in the information, BEBR, get yourself a discount, get yourself a Big East shirt. You're going to the Big East tournament. You want to wear a shirt. You don't want to be the guy who has the Creighton Blue Jay, just like everybody else. Go get yourself a shirt, Home Field Apparel, BEBR. Check us out. We are lucky enough to be joined for the 4-5 matchup to preview Seton Hall Pirates, Jaden Bediako. Jaden, thank you so much for joining us again so soon. We are incredibly lucky to have you.
Appreciate it, guys. Happy to be here.
And Jaden, thank you for the patience there dealing with Tyler. Your name's not that hard to say, and you know it's amateur hour out here, but I apologize for that.
All good. All good.
So the Seton Hall, as Tyler mentioned, gets the 4-5 matchup against St. John's, 2:30 on Thursday. You guys are 2-0 against them. Most recently, after going down big in the first half, you guys made an incredible comeback in the second half to get the season sweep. What changed at halftime, and what went right so right for Seton Hall that you guys can take forward into this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, the game wasn't that long ago, but I'm having a cloud in mind about like, what was in the locker room. But they just showed us, like, we were breaking down on defense. Coach really was just emphasizing, like, this is our game to take. Like, we're better than this, though. You know, we just need to get stops. And we're not going to get back in all one possession. It's going to be, you know, possession after possession after possession. So, and I guess sort of we could say we kind of woke up a bit because we did start out slow defensively and they were just getting whatever they wanted. So that was kind of what we said at halftime. And, you know, once we start getting, we got like 4 or 5 stops in a row. That might have been one of our better defensive performances probably maybe in this season in the second half. Like, we got 4 or 5 stops in a row and we started scoring. Like, our defense led to our offense and we came right back in the game. And, you know, kudos to them too. Like, you know, they jumped on us early though. So we're trying to really avoid that next matchup.
Jaden, you've played 2 games against them. So that quick math, you played 4 halves. You have dominated 3 halves against St. John's. Is there a confidence going into this game, or is it on to the next one? This game's going to be completely different than the last two.
On to the next one. This game's completely different now. This is part 3 of our season, postseason now. So win, go home, all elimination games. I think the same can be said a little bit too. Like, you know, it's really tough to beat a team 3 times in a row. I've been on the receiving end of that, you know, 0-3 in Pepperdine my freshman year. When I was with Team Canada, we scrimmaged France. Oh, no, that was twice, my bad. And then when I was at my senior at Santa Clara, we swept the Dons twice, played them in the conference tournament, and that was a crazy 3 overtime game in the WCC tournament. So, whole new matchup, you know, they're playing really well right now. I think they won 5 in a row, and, you know, we're playing well. So, I mean, you know, this is just it's another game, but like it's a game that we all, both teams need desperately, and we want events. For some of us, this is our last ever conference tournament, let alone Big East tournament, first and last for me. So just trying to survive in advance, and you know, they're a really good team, very well coached. I know the first meeting they didn't have their head coach, so the second meeting, you know, you could also say maybe that kind of like he was on them. They jumped on us really that first half, so, and he's still gonna be on them. They're playing really well, so, and they played at MSG too, so it's, they just played their last game, so they're gonna be comfortable a bit. But it's another game in the Big East, and you know, control we can control.
I'm glad you mentioned the coming together. I think, you know, when you have a players like Kadari Richmond and Alamir Dawes, yourself, you think that because you're an older group, that might happen just right away. You're playing, I think, your best basketball. Dre Davis has been incredible over his last few games. Can you just talk about how this team has come together, how Shot got you guys to come together, and do you feel like you're as connected as you've ever been, like, going into this tournament?
Well, I think... Yeah, Coach Shaw brought us together, but at the same time, I think we did some of the work. We did most of the work in the summer together, just being around each other. You know, Coach mentions, you know, we got to be good on and off the court. So, you know, guys like hanging out with each other off the court, you know, knowing more than just the player, knowing like the individual. And, you know, we all have different personality traits that need, like, you know, you need to have the loud guy, you have the quiet guy. Every personality kind of combats each other and kind of helps each other build each other up and stuff. I would say, it really started in the summer, but yeah, like we, like I think too, like you gotta understand too, like even though teams are successful though, like you're gonna have bumps. It's not all peaches and roses, and we went through those bumps. And I thank God went through them early though. Now look back, it's damn, like could have got this team maybe, but I mean, it just built character, and you know, no, everyone was counting us out by like mid December. Everyone was like, yeah, they're done, whatever. It's, they'll finish ninth. We didn't pay attention to that. We just hanged with each other and, you know, just motivate each other, you know, because when you win, when the team wins, everyone wins, not just individuals, you know. Shout out to Kadari being, you know, first team All Big East, and that's a chance to be player of the year. Coach Shaw is probably in the running for coach of the year. Dre's had a great season, though, really improved a lot for us and very needed, too. And then Al, you know, just continues to be our sniper on the three-point line. And, you know, one being one of the older guys, too, just helping us lead that team. Guys respect each other, love each other. And, you know, we're connected, man, you know. And we feel like we could have a big run in this conference tournament and the postseason, whatever postseason happens. But just really right now, we're just worried about this conference tournament and, you know, obviously a really good St. John's team.
Jaden, after the Villanova game, both Kadari and your coach had some great quotes about practice being chippy before that game. Can you give us a little insight on what that practice was like, and is it still chippy going into the Big East tournament?
Well, I think while that practice was chippy, you know, the pretext of that is we got blown out twice at Crane, at UConn. Both teams, like, we played better at home than their places, so it was a bit upsetting, you know, like, and not only did we lose, like, we lost by, like, 30-plus, 25 in both games, so we were embarrassed, and, you know, we were just doing it, and guys got after each other and stuff like that, like, we were playing, like, it's like, and basically, like, we're just tired of losing, like, we're tired of, I guess maybe you could say there's something called maybe a good loss, but, like, the way we were losing, it wasn't good, and, you know, it's, the coaches can yell, do all the they can do, but when the players are getting after each other, it means more, you know. And I guess that's a bit of the answer. I'm not giving you all the insight, but that's that was the driving force. Is it still chippy? A little bit, but I think, but it'll probably be more chippy tomorrow and just leading up to, you know, because this is it's a big game, you know, like we take one game at a time, but part three of the season now is postseason, you know. There's no okay, whatever, come back. No, it's like when you're out. Right, so just, and like I said, they're a really good St. John's team, really good. So, yeah.
One of the good things about Madison Square Garden for you guys is it's such a close, you know, in proximity. What do you have to say to the Seton Hall fans that are going to be in attendance, cheering you guys on Thursday afternoon? You know, they're going to have to be infiltrating someone else's home arena. What do you have to say to them?
Fire Nation, please come out, man. I mean, listen, y'all have been to the Big East tournament. It's my first and last time ever going to a Big East tournament. But you know, it's great. It's close by New York City, New Jersey people and people in the city. I think someone was saying too, the Big East tournament is kind of like a holiday in the city, you know, like not just like sand, but celebrity or not celebrities, businessmen and people around the city just come by and watch. So, you know, if you're a City Hall alum or you love City Hall basketball, you love what we do, please come out and support. And yeah, it's really exciting, you know, like I could see, like, I went to a couple Knicks games and I see why this place is the Mecca or the world's most famous arena. So definitely be grateful to see that. And yeah, I mean, they've been like, I think we have one of the better fan bases with alumni and like people who love City Hall basketball. They come to like almost everything, all the games nearby. They'll be at UConn, they'll be here. Some came to California, so that's a big ass. And they will, and right here, it's like New York City. They'll be out though. So excited to see a shade of blue and white, and have a good game.
Jaden, we can't thank you enough for taking time to come on the podcast and preview the Big East tournament. Before we let you go, can I get one key for the Seton Hall Pirates to be successful in the Big East tournament, one aspect that they got to excel at?
Our defense, man, every day. I'll be saying our defense is good, great. Like, it can always be better. You know, we'll be harping on that. Like I said, being a team three times is a challenge. Not a challenge we can't do, but we got to be locked in the next 2 days of practice. And our defense will guide us. Like, we go far in this thing, it's our defense. Our defense will carry us. So, you know, we did some stuff today. We're definitely going to go at it tomorrow and Wednesday. I'll definitely work on that a lot because they run good sets. They've won five games in a row, so they're playing well. And defense wins championships. So that's the one thing we're really focused on, our defense.
Well, Jaden, thank you so much for coming on. We'll be rooting you on Thursday. And, hey, it's been a great season. Let's continue at part three. Let's go.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
To talk about the Creighton Blue Jays with us, we are lucky enough to be joined by Road to the Garden contributor Dinga and DeRosa, co-host the better half of that, Chris Thedinga, coming to us live from the airport on his way to the Big East tournament. Chris, fire me up. How are you doing?
Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on here. I apologize for any bad audio. Like Tyler said, I am in Nashville right now, just on en route to New York. I'm stoked to be there and to be here and talk Jays.
Because that's dedication. That's what heroes do. They get on the podcast from the airport in between flights to the Big East tournament. So the Creighton Blue Jays wrapped up the number 2 seed. They will play the winner of Providence Georgetown on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Let's start with the situation that's much more likely, that they see the Providence Friars. What are your kind of immediate thoughts about that matchup and how the Blue Jays, how they would match up against that team?
Yeah, I'm really excited if that ends up being the matchup. When you guys were on Road to the Garden and we did our little award show, I voted for the Providence and Creighton game to win my biggest game of the year. I thought it was fantastic. So to get one more showing of that matchup would be a ton of fun. Baylor Shireman and Trey Alexander going toe-to-toe with Devin Carter, and obviously Oduro had a great game against Creighton the last time out with like 32 points. It's just a really fun matchup with a lot of good, unique type of skill sets at each position. It'd be a lot of fun.
Chris, Creighton is 7-1 in their last 8 games. I don't want to say they were underperforming earlier in the year. I think we just had really high expectations for them. What have you seen over these last 8 games that have really changed your opinion maybe on what their ceiling is? Like, is there anything, you know, schematically that they're doing?
Yeah, I think it starts and ends with Steven Ashworth. His play in the second half of the year here has been night and day different than at the beginning of the year. He has fit well into McDermott's system. It's not always the easiest system to transition into, just because of how Creighton plays. There's a lot of spacing. Freshmen tend to not do quite as well the first half of the year with Creighton. Same thing goes with transfers, I think we're seeing. Even last year, it took Shireman a little bit of time to find his footing in that role as well. So with Ashworth now firing on all cylinders, at least offensively, it just opens up a whole lot for their offense. It's one more guy that's creating and being in the right spots and hitting the right people on the wings for threes. So, yeah, I think it starts to end with the point guard play.
we just saw Ryan Kalkbrenner get named for his third straight Defensive Player of the Year this morning. Can you just talk about how important he is for the
Hell
Bulls?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, right, is that a very smart mind that I know in this realm DM'd me this morning, and he was like, hey, Kalkbrenner isn't even top 10 in defensive win shares in the conference. The thing is that he's so important to every single thing that Creighton does on the defensive end of the floor, and Creighton's the top half of the Big East defensive team. He just impacts every single play with the drop coverage. Teams have a hard time figuring it out, and when they do figure it out, then he can start to challenge things, and the wing guys are good enough to adapt. But I don't know. Ryan Kalkbrenner, there's a reason why he's won it 3 straight years. The coach does know it. Everyone should know it, how important he is to Creighton.
One thing that if they do win the Big East tournament, one thing that's going to go really right for them?
Well, shooting the triple, right? I mean, it's a make-shot, miss-shot game, and that's always what Greg McDermott likes to say in post-games a lot of times after losses, but it's true. And I know it feels like a cop-out, but when Creighton shoots the three ball at a 38% or higher range this season, they have one loss. If you shoot the ball well, you're going to win games. Obviously, there's a lot of great defensive teams in the Big East that makes it hard to do such, but when Creighton shoots the lights out, I mean, I dare anyone to go toe-to-toe with them.
Chris, last year we noticed when we were at the Big East tournament that Creighton fans traveled really well, surprisingly well, for coming all the way from Omaha. Any insights on how that happens?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. They always have. Basketball means a ton in Omaha. There's no pro sports teams, and I think that matters. And also, Nebraska isn't quite, I mean, this year it's better, but they aren't quite the force on the basketball side of things, just football. So Creighton basketball is, you know, that's the show in the state of Nebraska. Even back to the Missouri Valley days, with that old conference and that alignment there, it was about half of the tournament in St. Louis was Creighton fans, and just about the other half was Wichita State fans, and that was about it. So ever since, you know, I've been around covering this team, they have traveled exceptionally well.
Chris, we can't thank you enough. You're one of those fans that is going to be traveling to the Big East tournament. It's kind of appropriate that Ryan talks about how, you know, passionate Creighton fans are, and here you are joining us from an airport on your way to the Big East tournament from the Midwest. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining us, and we are so lucky to have you. Check out Dingin DeRosa and all of his Road to Garden stuff.
Hell yeah, guys. Go Jays.
Okay, to talk about the reigning Big East champions, it works out really well that they're the last team playing that night. From the Marquette Golden Eagles, we are lucky enough to be joined by starter Stevie Mitchell. In my opinion, Defensive Player of the Year, Stevie Mitchell, but they don't care about my vote. Stevie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you so much for taking the time to get on with us, Stevie. We appreciate it.
Of course.
So Marquette draws the winner of Villanova versus DePaul, the 9:30 p.m. game on Thursday. It's the last game of Thursday night. As Tyler mentioned, we are going to assume you're going to see Villanova because DePaul hasn't won a game so far this Big East season, and we have no reason to believe that will change now. But you guys have played Nova twice. You beat Nova twice. Most recently at Villanova, and again, Tyler Kolek went crazy. And can you talk about what went right in those games?
I think just, you know, sticking to our way against every team in the Big East, you know, we got to play our way and play our basketball. And the times we get away from that is the times we struggle, and the times we stick to that is the times we do well. And I think both times we played against them, we did a good job sticking to our way, even when they went on their runs, because we know they got good players. They got, you know, a lot of good players. So just sticking our way when they went on runs and then just kept responding. So I think that has been the biggest key for us.
Stevie, over the course of the last few games, obviously you've been missing a player or two here and there, but your play has really stepped up. Have you felt a little more responsibility, especially offensively, to get this team going? I know you've been shooting a little bit more. Your effort is never in question, but it's been incredible on the offensive glass. Have you just felt a little more responsibility to get with some guys out?
I think, you know, a thing we just talk about a lot is just, like, kind of nobody has to, like, try to do what the people do that we're missing, because, like, that's what makes our team unique. Like, everybody can do something different at a high level. So the emphasis has been more on just, you know, being a better version of ourselves and doing what we do best higher level. And for me, like, I just, you know, thing I take pride in the most is just playing hard, so I got to play even harder. And then just, you know, just being out there and just being confident with the work I put in and just being ready for opportunities. Obviously, we're still going to let, you know, go through Cam and Oso offensively just because, I mean, they're incredibly talented and have been doing this offensive stuff and defensive at a high level for 2 years now. So obviously we're going to continue to play through them. But for me, I just feel like just, you know, picking up how hard I play defensively, offensively, just giving it my best effort is the most important thing.
Now we're going to address the elephant in the room really quick. Tyler Kolek didn't play the last few games of the regular season. Is there any, are you able to give any insights about, you know, his availability for the Big East tournament?
He's, you know, he's working. He's getting healthy. I think, you know, we just care about him, like, beyond basketball. So, like, his main priority is just getting healthy. And if that's before the Big East tournament, it'll be great to have. It'll be, you know, obviously great to have him. So he's just, you know, putting in work every day to work towards getting better. And that's all we can ask for.
And it looks like you're not skipping a beat with Cam Jones sliding over to the primary ball handler responsibility if that's necessary, correct?
Yeah, I think Tyler has also been doing, like, a really good job of communicating what he sees, because obviously he sees the game at a super high level. So even being on the sideline, he's been able to communicate things that are going to be open, things that he sees when he's out there, and things that he's seeing on the sideline, communicating that with us. And I think that has, you know, helped a lot. And him just, like, you know, pouring into us, telling us what he needs from us. Like, he's actually been telling me, like, recently, just get on the glass, get on the glass. So I've been just, you know, going to the glass even harder. So I think he's been able to lead while not even playing, which speaks highly about, you know, the competitor and the person he is. And I think that's why he's, you know, when he's on the court, he can lead and play. So that's when you really get, you know, a monster.
Stevie, you obviously don't need a Marquette history lesson, but for the listeners, last year, Marquette's picked ninth. They end up winning the Big East regular season. Going into the Big East tournament, you know, they were still, you guys weren't picked to win a lot, you know, to win the Big East regular season. You know, Kolek came on with us right before the Big East tournament saying, you know, we're still not being picked. We still don't feel like it. You guys are not going to sneak up on anyone this year. How the target to being the targeted, how has that changed for you guys?
I think it was definitely like kind of more of a struggle earlier in the year. I think we kind of figured it out a little bit more now. I think early in the year, we kind of like afraid to, like, you know, playing to not lose at some points, versus now we just realize, like, being, like, you know, humble enough to know that, like, the game is going to, whoever wins the game is going to be the team who's more connected and who plays a better game. Like, the perceptions going into the game of each team don't really contribute to the outcome of the game. So I think going into the games and knowing each game is going to be a war has kind of put us in a better place to just chase winning and go after winning instead of, you know, worrying about what people think if we lose or if we're ranked this and lose, that's not supposed to happen. Kind of just getting away from, like, worrying about what should happen and just trying to, you know, go out there and make something happen.
And speaking of sleeping on Marquette Golden Eagles, all Big East awards came out. Cam Jones is left off. You're left off. Are we getting some angry Golden Eagles going into the Big East tournament?
I mean, for me, I didn't feel like I it didn't really. What bothered me most was, like, Cam. Like, I just don't understand how, like, the leading scorer on, you know, the team that came tied for second doesn't, like anything. Like, it just didn't really, you know, make sense to me. But I know the person Cam's in, he's going to, you know, continue to obviously work, continue to play with fire, and continue to do what he's been doing, which has, you know, obviously been helping our team have the success we've been having in a major way. So I'm excited to, you know, play the Big East tournament. I think the best thing about all of us is, like, the awards never really mattered to us. I think winning has always been what's mattered. And, you know, winning the Big East, you know, then going into the NCAA tournament, I think our biggest goals are still ahead of us and can't be taken away by, you know, any individual awards. So I think that's something that, you know, we take pride in.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the reigning Big East tournament champs, as we mentioned earlier. What is it going to take for those Marquette Golden Eagles to repeat and you guys to be holding that trophy up on Saturday night?
I think, like I said earlier, just sticking to our way, regardless of, you know, what other teams come out and do, what shots they make, how hard they play, anything like that. I think just sticking to what we do can, you know, really go a long way for us. And then, I still don't feel like people expect us to win this time either. So I think just playing with that chip on our shoulder and going in there and competing and just being what we're about, just having a lot of fun. I think that was a huge thing for us last year. We just had a ton of fun during the Big East tournament, just, you know, playing in the Garden, all those people there to watch, just a great basketball environment. So I'm really looking forward to it, you know, just go out there hoop with my brother. So I'm looking for, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
You just touched on it a little bit, but as Tyler mentioned, you're the reigning Big East tournament champions. How different is the mindset going into, like, you know what it takes to win now, right? Mm-hmm. You know what it takes to win this championship. How different, looking back to where you were a year ago, how different is the mindset going into the tournament now?
I would say, I think last year helped me, like, realize how fun of an experience it was because we had won. So, like, obviously winning, like, everything feels better when you win, like, is everything. So, I think, you know, looking back on it, just seeing, like, realizing how fun of a time we had while playing and then just, you know, being in hotel, whatever. So I think, you know, going into this year, I think just focusing on being in the moment, enjoying the moment and making the most of each and every moment is how our mindset is going to be going into this weekend.
Well, we can't say thank you enough for hopping on with us, Stevie. We're going to be there in person, so we can't wait to watch you guys dominate.
Yes, sir.
And, hey, you've had a hell of a year, and we're excited. And I know you guys have some lofty goals this year, so hopefully everyone's back healthy, and hopefully you guys continue to be healthy, and you can do what you hit your ceiling.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
All right. That is 11 teams to cover the Big East Tournament Preview. This is our favorite episode we do once a year. We hope you all had fun with us, and we enjoy what will be the next couple best weeks of the year.
Yeah, I mean, if you had told Ryan and I 2 years ago we'd sit down with six players, five of the best, you know, media personalities for this team, we would have laughed. We are so lucky to do this. So you guys like, rate it, subscribe it, do whatever, but, you know, everything you do for us really helps.
Appreciate you guys. And as always, thanks for pulling up a stool.